bum. Are you ready
for one dry kiss?
Oh, language advisory. You're good at it.
Am I? Sure. This mic, get damn it. This podcast may contain explicit content and inappropriate language and...
Basically, if you can't handle cussing or sexy talk, this is not the podcast for you.
There's not abundant sex talk. It's not like Bridgerton. Oh, good Lord. Softcore porn on Netflix.
Oh, but it's so good.
I was just telling Corinne, it's good for you when you're alone and not when you're watching it in the living room and your brother-in-law walks through while homegirl is getting munched on the stairwell. Trying to change the channel quickly just makes you look more guilty. Surprise, surprise. Do I even need to say that?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't think I need to say that.
I do need to say,
oh, you have another.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, a Hallmark romance movie comedy podcast. Go on.
Welcome. We're glad you're here.
I'm here with my lovely co-host, Tamara Cosio.
And I'm here with my even lovelier co-host, ooh, Corinne Edding.
Thank you.
We are watching The Last Bridesmaid today. And actually, well, we already watched it, but we're telling you about it today.
Which is, I would say, a soundly okay movie.
as far as Hallmark movies go, yes, it's a solidly all right movie. It sure is.
It's enjoyable. It's mm-hmm. not bad. It's just not great.
Yeah, and sadly, I am not super well versed in the Hallmark universe. I've always loved romantic comedies.
Mm.
And since they don't make those anymore, which is super sad. Like, do you remember blockbuster romantic comedy movies that would come out and bring in millions? That doesn't happen anymore.
I loved those. And that's why I said to you, come on down to Hallmark Town. Watch some Hallmark movies with me.
Why do you love Hallmark movies?
One, I do dig a cheesy romance, so check right there off the bat. Two, they're low stress. So particularly during, say...
They're super low stress.
Right. So say during a pandemic, I can just pop that on and get relaxed versus being like, oh no, what's going to happen next? For instance, the Kissing Booth movies on Netflix, those had me all torn up inside while I was watching them, which... are great movies. And also, I was like, no, you need to get back together. Also, you're meant for each
kissing
other.
Kissing Booth is too high stakes for you.
Sometimes I just get a little too involved. Because when I'm watching a movie and they're like, hey, that's what they say on screen. I say, hey, right on back. So, you know, I'm participatory in my movies.
As you should be. As you should be.
Thank you.
I like yelling at my screen too. Yep.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Well, you know, Hallmark is what you watch when you need to come down from that anger high.
Yes.
It'll just like chill you fuck out.
Yeah, it was the chill out mode that I never knew that I always needed. Because I'm usually like, what's going to happen in this movie? And then Hallmark movies, there's a formula to it.
Yes.
So I kind of know the end result. So I'm just like, I know it's happening. And it's kind of soothing. It's like a balm for my soul.
Right. Let me tell you about some fun and inconsequential facts that I gleaned about The Last Bridesmaid.
As fun as they can be. Facts.
So Rachel Boston, who plays The Last Bridesmaid herself, she executive produced to this. So she's a boss bitch.
Oh, nice.
Also, Paul Campbell, who is the male lead and wedding videographer in this movie, he is utterly charming. And he wrote the Hallmark movie Christmas by Starlight, which is fantastic and hilarious. And he plays such a little smarmy SOB who finds his heart in the end.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to have to check that one out. I thought for a second you were going to be like, Paul Campbell, who plays the videographer in this movie, was actually the videographer for this movie.
No.
And so I had like a little... thought of him like running in front of the camera, then running behind the camera, then running in front of the camera, then running behind the camera.
He's not the Flash. He can't do it that quick.
Good fun facts. And I'm going to lay on you the synopsis.
Ooh.
The Last Bridesmaid is a romance. And it, as you said, stars Rachel Boston as Becca Foster and Paul Campbell as Kyle Taylor. Becca is always a bridesmaid. But at her cousin's wedding, she bonds with Kyle, the videographer covering every stage of the planning. Perhaps she won't be the last bridesmaid standing for long. And I totally stole that from IMDb, so thank you so much.
Thanks,
and
IMDb.
A little background for Becca.
Mm.
Becca Foster is difficult. She has no friends. She's cantankerous.
She is
She knows what she wants.
She is beautiful.
And she goes after it without abandon.
She is perfect, and she is afraid of risking things, okay? Did you not watch this movie? Do you not even know Becca?
Oh,
have you not been having tea with her?
Is that part of the requirement for doing this podcast? I actually had to watch the movie about the movie that we're talking about.
No.
Had to watch the movie. I'm completely bullshitting you. That's not true at all. Actually, Becca is very sweet. She's always a bridesmaid or a maid of honor and is up to the task to make sure her friends have that perfect special day. She's also on the cusp of taking over her parents' business, but there's something missing in her life. Love? Art? Will her need to create overshadow the responsibility she feels to her family? Will she find her better half, or at least someone who could give her a few good roles in the hay? We'll find out. And then there's Kyle.
Wait. I would also like to mention, she is the only person that I have seen who has a studio apartment and yet has a closet entirely devoted to bridesmaid dresses.
When she had that closet full of dresses, I was like, I see Katherine Heigl and I see 27 dresses. That's neither here nor there. Next, I'm going to go over Kyle Campbell, who is a smart, funny videographer by day and an aspiring filmmaker by night. He believes that love is complicated and he should know. He films tons of weddings and sees all the dirty sides of couples during their special day. And edits it so it seems effortless. But he, too, is missing something. Something in his own life.
What is he missing?
Edited. We'll find out. We'll see if he gets his happily ever after? ? I do have to say, like, just a side note.
Yes.
Like, I kind of get Kyle's point of view because I do not currently have any children. Mm-hmm. And I think that is attributed to the fact that I worked for almost a decade in a children's portrait studio. You see behind the screen and you're kind of like, and that's what it takes to have kids. I don't know if I'm up to the task. Just like him in weddings. He's kind of jaded on love because he's seen what's behind the screen.
He's basically like, welcome to the shit show.
Yeah, exactly.
And Becca's like, shit show. No, all you need is some club soda and you can fix that. You can get rid of all that shit. With some dabbing.
Club soda fixes
everything. So we open The Last Bridesmaid. Becca's bestie, Allie, just has gotten married and they're all at the wedding reception. Yay! So exciting! Becca picks up the mic. She is epic at toasts. She's done so many of them before. And she pontificates about love. And she says, when you find your person, everything else in life falls into place.
Love,
love is effortless. I guess that's why everything in life hasn't fallen into place in my life yet. Because I guess I just haven't found the one. But you seem to have found the one, so... How amazing.
So the struggle is real.
Is your life.
It is not effortless. It is far from it. It's good, but it is work. Every single day.
While she is doing this wedding toast, there is this mysterious videographer that is getting all close up on her. And you can see that he is a little tickled by her speech. And she finishes up her speech. People are like, woo, you're the best, Becca. I'm so inspired. Love is effortless. Even though it totally isn't. A little bit later, Allie the bride and Becca are in the bathroom together. And Allie says, oh, this necklace you made me is so amazing. You should totally do this profesh. And Becca's like, there's no need for me to do jewelry profesh. I just love insurance. So... My family has a legacy, and I'm going to continue that legacy. And her friend's like, really? But this beautiful jewelry. She's like, no, insurance. We move on to the next scene where Becca is at the singles table. And there are what I would affectionately call a couple of old biddies there. And they are...
I put in my notes, nosy little biddies.
Oh, hey, twinsies! They are determined to set up Becca since they found out that she is single. And boy, howdy. I mean, the options that they give her, like, my son just left his wife. He'd be perfect for you. Yeah, that's super appealing. No, thank you. Now, I'm interested in potentially being set up with someone. These women are not who I want setting me up. I'm just going to say that.
I mean, if she entered in with a different, possibly, like, qualifier for him, like, he's a great guy, like, you know, he loves dogs, and he left his wife just a little while ago. I mean, you don't lead in with that. That's not a selling point.
No, that is really not a selling point. The biddies hear a song that they love, so they run off to the dance floor, and Becca is left alone with her sweet, sweet cake. Finally, she has been reunited with her true love. She's putting a fork full... She's putting a fork full of that cake in her mouth, and... Bah! Kyle, the wedding videographer, appears and asks her a question. And she says, didn't your mother ever tell you never to interrupt a lady when she's shoveling cake in her mouth? And thus begins their relationship of beautiful banter. Kyle says, I was trying to get you before you did, but you were so quick. And I understand. I mean, cake love is real. And he says, but that wedding speech, really? Love is effortless? Nothing is effortless in love. Becca.
Cake is effortless.
Cake is effortless. Cake does not talk back. Becca has been watching way too many Disney movies because she's like, no, of course love is effortless. When the right thing comes along, you just know and it just twists you off your feet and everything is good. And he's like, as the great Tamara said, weddings are messy. I just edit all that shit out. Mm-hmm. So then the moment has finally come. The bride is going to toss the bridal bouquet. Who will catch it? Dun, 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 dun. You might think it's Becca, but no, her other bestie, Lucy, dives in front of her and captures the bouquet that was going to hit, that Becca was going to capture. I've had a very similar thing like that happen to me when I was at a wedding and all the single ladies were supposed to gather around. There weren't many people at that wedding. I was in high school, hadn't shaved my legs, was wearing a long dress. This bouquet comes flying at me. I was like, fuck no, I don't need the promise of marriage in my immediate future. It plops down directly in front of my feet and the 40-something-year-old woman dives after it, captures the bouquet with triumph. And then they had a traditional wedding, so there was a garter throwing thing.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Yeah.
So okay. The groom takes the bride's garter off and then he throws it into single men who was caught by a high school guy. And the tradition, I love that look on your face. Oh my God. The tradition is,
go ahead.
The guy who grabs the garter has to put it on the person who got the bouquet's leg.
Oh, goodness. Oh, thank God you didn't pick up that bouquet that's just plopped in front of you.
I would have been mortified. One, I had no idea about this tradition. Two, here's this high school aged guy putting a garter on a woman over double his age.
Oh my God, I can so picture you seeing the bouquet like, and it just sits in front of you and you're just like, I'm not touching that thing. I am not getting that. Somebody else better come in here.
That was exactly what happened.
I wonder where that lady is now.
Oh, I don't think she's married to the high schooler. I'll tell you that.
You never know. Sounds kind of effortless.
That guy must have been like, fuck my life. I had no idea what I was in for when I caught that stupid garter.
What a ride we took with you there.
So Lucy bedecked in Hallmark lace TM, because if you watch Hallmark movies, you've never seen so many lace dresses / so much lace. So Lucy, we find out she's about to get proposed to because Saturday is date night. And Lucy is not only one of Becca's besties along with Allie, but also her cousin. So bouquet is tossed. Biddies have danced. Cake has been eaten. I think it's time for them to go home. Wedding over. Done.
The next scene, I noticed that the street sign says Santa Monica Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
Santa Monica Boulevard. That's my neck of the woods.
But Becca, you will recognize none of it because they're in Vancouver.
I know. I was so disappointed. The whole movie, I was like, do I recognize that? Do I recognize that? And then at the end, that's when I decided to look into it and saw that that was probably the only shot that they filmed in Los Angeles. And time wasted. Anyways, Becca's in a coffee shop buying a latte for her friend Allie, who runs in late. She's so overwhelmed. Oh my gosh, all this honeymoon planning and her packing. She's so busy. Brag, 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 brag.
You're just jealous she's because she's going to Hawaii.
I'm jealous of Hawaii. I'm jealous of weddings. I've only been to like 2 weddings in my whole life, I think. So that's why all this garter, like bouquet toss thing's kind of like, oh. Is that what happens? I don't know, because nobody ever invites me to weddings. Becca offers to go with her to Hawaii if that would help alleviate some of her stress, but, you know.
She's such a giver.
She's such a giver. So in walks Kyle, and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing here? Allie, aren't you supposed to be on some fabulous honeymoon? But she's leaving tonight. And Kyle, again, selflessly says, if there's room in the suitcase, I'll bring the suntan lotion.
Aww.
Which everybody's trying to go to Hawaii with.
Giver number two.
So, so selfless. And Allie says, you remember my friend Becca? And he does remember Becca because she's the hopeless romantic. Becca says, you say that like it's a bad thing. And Kyle's like, all right, but you know what? You did your job well at the wedding. And the fact that you believe in all that effortless love BS is great because it reads so well on camera. And he leaves. And as he leaves, of course, Allie tries to set her up with the man that just insulted her by saying, Becca, what about him? He's cute, no ring. And like, let's forget the fact that we don't really know him that well.
Look, he's
and
got a heartbeat. He's got a heartbeat.
I know, right? He could be gay. He could be bi.
He dresses in clothes.
He could be a serial killer. I just have 2 words to say. Rodney Alcala, who is the serial killer that doubled as a fashion photographer. So,
and was on the dating show.
And was on the dating show. Exactly. It's like, wait, like all these people that are trying to push poor Becca with anything that has a pulse is just kind of sad. You're her best friend. I would hope that you wouldn't be like, that guy that just insulted you is alive. Do you want to date him?
But Becca's, if this were a different movie, he would be stalking her with the video camera and showing up all the places. I mean, like,
but yeah. That's not far from the truth. That is not far from the truth. But Becca's miffed because he called her a hopeless romantic like it's a character flaw. And she makes sure to tell Allie he is so not it. Famous last words, Becca. Famous last words. In the next scene, we see Becca in her gorgeous studio apartment making jewelry. And she busts out this mini blowtorch. Which I was like, what is this thing? Because, like, I saw that and
she
I was like,
that
okay, blow so you're
torch
a
like a pro.
I know. She's like, and just like soldering crap all over her apartment. And I was like, I want one of those. But her jewelry making is thwarted by a ring at the door. Ding dong, it's her cousin Luce. And as Becca opens the door, Luce shoves her fist in Becca's face with the ring on it. And is like, I got engaged! She asks Becca to be the maid of honor. And Becca accepts. And Luce says, I know you're going to be completely swamped when you take over your parents' business. So I promise I'm not going to be a bridezilla. But the venue's only available June 9th and time's a ticking. I think it's like 5 months away. Anywho. And then Luce makes sure to add, and you finally get to meet Aiden. The best man, who's really the best man. And what the heck does that mean? Because they say it throughout the movie.
He's the best man. is what
the
they
best,
say.
The best man.
Yeah. You know, I call him best best.
So best best.
Yeah.
Anyways.
We'll get to that later.
Okay. So in the next scene, Becca shows up to her cousin Lucy's engagement party with a very nice necklace that she made. I have to give this girl props. If that's the jewelry that she makes, it's really lovely.
In many, like 99.9% of Hallmark movies, the jewelry is hideous. It is crazy bananas. It is large and chunky. It is tassel-y. But this one, she's making jewelry, and it's jewelry that I would actually wear.
Yeah. And so will Lucy. And we also meet Becca's uncle, Lucy's father, and he is a movie producer. So you know this wedding is going to be extravagant and lavish.
Uncle Paul.
And he even says that this wedding will be his grandest production. He will spare no expense. It's his only daughter and everything. Everything will be documented. And hopefully the poor spinster Becca will be married off by the end of the year, because Luce again mentions Aiden the best best is here. He's here. Go find him. And another friend that's pushing poor Becca off on some guy. Although she knows this guy, so thankfully it's not just some stranger on the street. So Lucy gets one more point than Allie.
Best friend Allie trying to set her up with someone. Lucy trying to set her up with someone. Her mom, when she goes by work, asking her if she found anyone at the wedding.
Old Biddy's trying to set her up with somebody.
Old Biddy's. So she has like a gang of folks who are trying to set her up with people.
And I don't think we mentioned it, but in the first couple of lines of the movie, I believe she said she just broke up with her ex-boyfriend like a month ago.
Yes.
And I'm like, back off, everybody. What the hell is your problem? Like, she just broke up with somebody a month ago. And in the Hallmark world, are you married yet? Are you married yet? Are you married yet? Is apparently the appropriate thing to say. Ugh. Anyways, that's the one beef I have with this Hallmark movie. I'm not bringing it up again.
I do think, to be fair, a lot of the conversations are actually centered around the jewelry making and his documentary, and they're not actually centered around trying to hook those two up together. So I think that's kind of cool.
They're not centered? It's not centered, but it's like on the periphery. It's like always there, like looming in the background. Like, you married, you married, you married, you married. I can't imagine like living that life. Like, it's just, that would bother me to no end. Like, I'm not good enough to just be me by myself without everybody thinking I need to pair up with somebody.
Agreed.
Anyways, after Lucy tells Becca to go find the best best, Kyle shows up and films her right as she's shoving another cupcake in her mouth. Cake is always patient. Cake is always kind. Cake is never boastful or jealous. The fact that he like seems to grab her when she's eating a cupcake really spoke to me in a special way. I feel you, Becca. Can you get me at a high angle and in good lighting? Thank you very much. Is that too much to ask?
And with my mouth not open, putting food in it.
And with my mouth not open or making a funky face. So it's been a month since they've seen each other, but he's filming Lucy's wedding as well. He must have done a bomb job at Allie's wedding. And then Becca finally meets the best best.
No,
the
best, best
best man, Aiden is his name, and he enters practically being dragged by Craig, the groom. And Craig mentions again how Aiden is the best best man. And what the heck? Like, did he save multiple people from a catastrophe? Did he give Craig a kidney? I just don't get it. Even spoiler alert till the end of the movie, like, he seems
I was going to ask you what your initial impressions were of best best, because
mine are like flat, uncarbonated water. Nothing spectacular. That's why I'm like, you guys talk about him like he is the best. You mention it multiple times, and he just seems mediocre at best.
Yeah, best. Maybe that's how he's the best best.
best mediocre guy. They're both obviously uncomfortable with the setup and how uber obvious their friends are being about trying to get them together. And Becca says, you know, I'm not really into this. My last blind date felt like a job interview at the Cobb Salad. Good line. I love that line.
I know.
Aiden says, you know what? Let's just do what we're here to do. We'll both be new friends. And if something happens, it happens. So that's like when I was like, okay, so Aiden's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
He's not like, oh, hey, Becca, we're going to be married next year. So later on, we flash to Becca. She's found by Kyle, who happens upon her while he's changing out a part for his camera. And he asks, so how's that setup going? And she was like, you knew about that? And he says, oh, please, honey, that setup was visible from outer space.
Yeah. Kyle, good line.
And they go on to talk about their personal life a little bit more, a little getting to know you, getting to know me. And Kyle divulges that he's a filmmaker. And Becca says that her uncle's a producer and they should talk. And Kyle says, psh, nah. I do movies that are like about real life. And he does like, you know, Hollywood production movies. And that's just not my thing. And in my notes, I put 10,000 exclamation points that would never happen in L.A. That would never happen in real life. It's all about schmoozing and networking and trying to get your stuff out there. And the fact that he's like, oh, your uncle's a movie producer? No, I'm not interested in meeting him or showing him my stuff. But that's just me. I could be wrong. If anybody has an opinion to the contrary, please let me know.
It's his baby. He does not want people to say, you know, this is too gritty. You need to zhuzh it up. Why don't we add some soft focus? Why don't we add a little glitter in the background?
See, that's a NorCal sensibility. I live in SoCal, so I know how it really happens down here in the movie industry. It's all about who you know, what you do, and who you can hook who up with.
Right, right, right. But Kyle,
business-wise,
he feels very NorCal.
Mm-hmm. He's a filmmaker, so that's like...
He's a documentarian. And you know where most of the documentaries come from? The Bay.
Where?
San Francisco Bay.
Well, agree to disagree. Agree to disagree. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Kyle again chides her about her fairy tale idea of effortless love. And Kyle's a realistic one. And he knows how it works. Remember, he's seen some things. And Becca says, just because...
As he rocks he in the corner. He doesn't I've seen some things at these weddings. Stuff that can't be unseen. He's like cutting soft porn moments where like the groom is making out with the bridesmaid.
Or the other groomsman. Or the 47-year-old lady that catches the bouquet. So Becca says, just because he doesn't believe in true love doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And maybe you just suck, Kyle. Okay, she doesn't say that, but I added it. And he says, just because she believes in it doesn't mean that true love does exist. And they agree to disagree, but they go their separate ways. But not before Kyle says, I'll see you at the dress fitting. What? You're going to be at the dress fitting, Kyle? And yes, because apparently Uncle Producer and the bride's dad wants everything documented.
Every moment.
Becca leaves looking annoyed, or dare I say, titillated? She's going to see him again?
I don't think the word is titillated.
Titillated?
This is not Bridgerton.
Oh, yes, it is.
No titillation. So now they're at the dress fitting. Kyle is there. And so first Lucy tries on this dress and she's like, no, 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 no. This dress is not for me. They say, oh, why don't you try on the spaghetti strap one? And she's like, yes. And Grandma says, Grandma, she says, I think this is going to be a winner. Grandma, shout out. When Lucy gets tucked away back in the dressing room, Grandma has a little chit chat with Becca. And she says, don't worry about all these other people. There's no timeline on marriage. You do you, boo. Take care of yourself. And I'd like to give a shout out to the grandma because she is firmly in the, dude, you don't need to rush the whole marriage thing.
My notes say, love Grams. She's the only one that has Becca's back. Fuck yeah. Love will happen when it happens. Everybody back the fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. The woman who owns the bridal store comes out and she says, Lucy's asking for the earrings. And Becca says, oh, I'll go and get them. She goes out. She comes back. And the woman who owns the store sees the earrings and she says, wow, well, you know, we showcase artists here. If you made those, I would be happy to show your work. And Becca's like, oh, well, yeah, that's real, real nice and all. But this is just a little hobby of mine. I just do it for my friends. And so in what has to be the quickest wedding dress selection of all time, Lucy finds her dress. Second dress. Bam. Done. You've taken care of it. Now we have to get to the really important stuff, which is bridesmaid dress montage.
Before we go to the montage, though, have you ever seen, like, Say Yes to the Dress, where they have, like, these huge clips, like, holding on a dress that's like 17 sizes too big. And these ones are like almost perfectly fitted to the bride to be. And I was like, where's that dress store? It's probably in Canada, but still.
Hallmark town is Canada.
What did you think about the bridesmaids dress montage?
Oh, it was fine. I've seen way worse bridesmaid dresses than those. But what ends up happening is that Lucy ends up settling on a beautiful, creamy kind of yellow. You might almost call it buttercream, but it's a little brighter.
I said it looks like vitamin P yellow.
Beautiful.
When you eat a lot of vitamins. And you pee, and it's that certain, like, distinctive color of yellow. That was the color of the dress.
Beautiful.
Hashtag vitamin P yellow dresses are the new summer look for 2021.
Ooh, nice prediction. So, bridesmaid dress chosen. Everybody heads out. Becca is helping Kyle carry some of his equipment. And they're walking to his car. She's talking about the dress. And she says, plus yellow is always nice, referring to her bridesmaid dress. And he says, is it though? And she said, no.
Vitamin P.
It's really not. It's a banana yellow dress. Kyle goes on to talk about how cool it was that she got the opportunity to show her jewelry there. And she says, I just do it on the side for my friends. My mom calls it my little hobby. Insurance is my heart. And Kyle says, you're just afraid. And Becca says, I'm not afraid. No. He goes on to say, I think you're an artist hiding in the body of an insurance adjuster. I kind of like that. I was like, that's a sort of sweet thing to say. But Becca does not view herself as an artist. She views herself as an insurance adjuster that enjoys making jewelry for her friends. Kyle and Becca put his supplies in the back of his car and they part ways.
In our next scene, we're at a restaurant for a pre-wedding dinner where they're weeding out the details. And Aiden and Becca are getting to know each other a little bit more, but their interaction's unremarkable. What did you think?
I think that best is just fine.
He's just fine. He's
he's just.
He's not best.
He's just.
Yes. So Becca and Just are having this kind of unremarkable interaction as their friends look on, giving each other knowing glances, like, just wait, they're going to fall in love, and yada, yada, yada. And Becca shares that she'll soon be taking over her parents' business. And Aiden offers, you know, to take up the wedding slack if she becomes too busy, and I would really love to see that, because her responsibilities as a maid of honor seem a little bit out of his wheelhouse. So, then we cut to the next afternoon, where we see badass Becca in her beautiful condo with her blowtorch gun doing what she do. And in comes her mom with the contract for the business takeover, and mom's excited, but Becca's not. And her mom kind of gets a whiff of this and asks, why isn't she more excited? And Becca wants to make her parents proud. Yeah, that's the ticket. There's no hesitation here. I'm super into it. Everything's good. Did I say I was proud?
Very proud.
But they leave it at that. And it cuts to the cake testing.
Cake tasting?
Cake testing.
Cake tasting?
Cake testing. And then next scene, we cut to the cake tasting. And I wrote, can somebody please take me wedding cake tasting? Have you ever been cake testing? Tasting! Damn it!
Well, you know, the cakes, they try and fill out the bubble forms, and it just is like, it's not very successful because they get frosting all over the place. Cakes doing tests, just not a good thing. As far as
tasting.
Cake tasting, no, I have not been to a cake tasting.
But, yeah. I watch way too much of the Cooking Channel and have seen like those cake baking shows. I'm just like, oh, please let me be a part of that.
Well, and Becca's true love seems to be cake at this point in time. Reunited and it feels so good.
So Becca's there to assist Luce with her cake tasting. Luce is not there yet, but you know who is there? Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Kyle just happened to be a few doors down with the groomsmen trying on tuxes, but he decided to pop over to the bakery to assist Luce and Becca as they try all the wedding cake.
Because you know it's all about the bride, is what he says. And I'm like, you know, fuck that shit. I am sorry, but this whole guys are just standing there the entire time while the woman does everything in regards to the wedding. It just seems like a really lame thing. If I have a wedding, I want my partner to be part of the decisions, not be like, here is my gorgeous knight of destiny and fantasy, you must bend to all my whims. Ridiculousness.
You say that now, but I know that if me and Dan ever got married, that he would be kind of a groomzilla. He's already said, like, can we do the wedding in Chargers colors? Which oh, is the biggest LA Chargers fan.
Oh no.
I'm like, oh, I think I'm gonna have to cut you out of so many decisions just for sanity's sake. So in Kyle's defense, it does sound way more interesting to taste cake than have groomsmen try on tuxes.
Yeah.
While they're waiting for the bride to show up, Kyle and Becca start talking, and they realize that they are both wedding aficionados. Becca's been in 3 weddings this year, and Kyle's gone to 23.
Who wins? I think he does. And he's getting paid to be there, too, whereas she is doing all this work, not getting paid.
The man's in demand, and Becca cannot figure out how he does such beautiful wedding stories while being such a cynic about love. And he says what he loves is telling stories. And he's just good at it.
Yay!
And that's a good answer. And
it's Becca's a man after my
about what others. Yes, absolutely. What about him, Corinne? There's no ring. He's single.
My heart belongs to Ty Ty.
Who? Kai Kai?
Ty Ty.
Ty Ty.
Tyler Hines.
I have no idea who that is.
He is in The Mistletoe Secret, which... J'adore. And he's like the top of the pyramid, and then this guy is next row down.
Wow, you have your Hallmark crushes all lined up. I'm impressed.
I do. Here's a little picture of him.
Oh yeah, he's a cutie.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, carry on.
He loves telling stories, and Becca is curious about what stories he tells outside of weddings. And he says, why don't you come on over to my editing bay, and I'll show you what I'm working on.
Editing bay, huh?
Run, Becca. Run. He's going to kill you. Just kidding. He's going to chop you up into little pieces and stick you in a suitcase. But he does not, because in the next scene, we see Kyle at the TV station editing his passion project. And he does this by doing freelance for the studio, and in return, he gets to edit his personal busyness. And currently, he's doing a documentary on military animals. And I thought this was a cool fact that military dogs outrank their handlers.
Yeah.
As a sign of respect. And I was like, note say look this up, but I didn't. So we'll just keep on going. Like, that's the truth.
It's got to be the truth.
Okay. I hope so. But he's actually doing this documentary because his mom is at the helm of a pet project, pun intended, where she works to reunite retired military people with the dogs that they served with.
Oh my gosh. So when he says that it's his pet project, pun intended, the look on his face, you could tell he could not stand saying that line. He was like, I'm actually funny, and this line is horrible.
I would have loved saying that line immensely. I would have looked at the camera and said, pet project? Pun intended.
Dun, dun, dun.
But I love a good pun.
Do you give the
Was
movie...
Was that a good pun? Yes. Yes, I did.
Do you give the movie 4 paws up? Hey.
get to the ratings at the end.
I'm talking about his documentary.
Oh, I don't know. Nobody's seen his documentary except for Jenna. And she only sees a couple
Jenna?
Of little bits. I mean, God damn it, Becca. No, nobody has seen his documentary except for Becca. And I even wrote Jenna because that's the last movie we watched that we had with Jenna. Sorry. And Becca asks, has your mom seen this pet project of yours? And he says, no, it's got to be perfect. Like, nobody can see it. It's not ready. And it's really, like, precious about it. But he's willing to share it with Jenna. Mm-hmm.
You mean Becca?
Damn it! Becca! He's willing to share it. And I have Jenna, like, all throughout my notes in this little section. You can tell where my heart is. He's willing to share.
You're like, why aren't you willing? What was that fucking movie called?
Taking a Shot at Love. Why aren't you taking a Shot at Love?
Why are we watching that?
Anyways. But he's willing to share a few clips with Becca. Basically, Becca calls him out on this and calls him a chicken. And says that it sounds like it's fear that's what's keeping him from sharing his vision with the world.
Oh.
And Kyle doubles down and says...
Turning it back around. Putting up that mirror.
Turning it back around. Love it. But Kyle doubles down and says the last movie that he made that wasn't perfect went nowhere. And it's sitting in his drawer at home. Becca says, your project is special and it needs to see the light of day. And of course, Kyle in his defense says, what about you, Becca? And your jewelry? You show yours, and I'll show mine.
So oh, that sounds a little provocative.
Intentionally.
Ooh.
You give the bridal shop some pieces, and I'll finish editing my movie in time for you to see it at Luce's wedding. So they triple dog dare each other, spit into their hands, and shake on it.
Such an accurate depiction. It brought tears to my eyes.
It wasn't, but that's how I interpreted it.
It's beautiful. So, Becca, given this triple dog dare, is working from home again. She's making jewelry. Her besties are helping her. Her besties, Allie and Lucy, ask, what changed your mind about showing your jewelry and making pieces for the bridal shop? And she says, well, you know, I just wanted to see what if. And I'm like, no, there was a boy. There was a boy who was, like, encouraging you, and you're kind of, like, intrigued by him, and you got good banter, and you ended up shaking on something. This was not just you being like, oh, let me just see where I think this goes. This was a spit-on-your-hand handshake with a guy kind of thing. She does not bring up Kyle at all.
I don't blame her for not bringing up Kyle, because they would advance on her and be like, Kyle, what's going on with Kyle? What's happening with Kyle? Kyle? Did you say Kyle, the videographer? Kyle?
She gathers her little jewelry collection together with the help of her friends, and she goes to the bridal dress fitting, drops off the jewelry. The jewelry is actually cute. And we have another grandma shout out. Grandma shout it out. Grandma's like, you do so much for others, but how much are you doing for yourself? Are you taking care of yourself? Stop looking outward. Start looking inward. That's where the journey begins. And Becca's like, jewelry, it's doing something. So Grandma imparts her wisdom, and with that, end scene.
But then we see Becca at the office with her mom. Lucy calls and says, oh my God, Craig has food poisoning. Lucy begs Becca to go food tasting for her at the inn where they're holding the wedding. Lucy begs Becca's mom to please let her come out and play, or rather to try food at the inn for her and to save her life, because if they don't pick up the food for the wedding, they're going to be eating boxed mac and cheese, and Becca will be helping Lucy make that boxed mac and cheese, so can you please just help a girl out? And of course they let her go. As Becca's leaving the office, who does she see but Kyle the stalker? I mean, Kyle the videographer.
Hi, Kyle.
And he says, hey, I talked to Lucy and she told me that you're going to be taking care of the food tasting. I need to go document this too. Why don't we ride together? It's all part of the story, and he never misses an opportunity to see her eating. So I had a question, if he's documenting everything that is wedding related, then is he also going to the hospital and documenting Craig's food poisoning and him being hooked up to an IV or puking in the bucket? Because he seems to like want to capture everything, and I thought that his focus should have been more on the bride and groom.
No, because it's around wedding events, not around food poisoning, because that's not a cute look. That's just stuff he's going to edit out. Duh.
I thought it would be like a raw, realistic angle. Maybe a establishing shot of the hospital.
It's not a documentary.
Maybe
it's a wedding video. I said it's not a documentary. It's a wedding video.
Whatever. You don't know my vision. You don't know what's in my head. So
you're fired from your videographer job. You're fired.
They arrive at the inn. And they started talking more about their dreams and their aspirations. And Becca wants to know how her jewelry's doing after she delivered it to the bridal shop. But she's afraid, will it suck? Will the jewelry not sell and she'll be completely destroyed? Or will it be really successful and then she'll have to make some tough decisions? And then Kyle shares that his movie is a way for him to honor his mother and how strong she is. And Becca uses a bead metaphor to talk about how life is always a work in progress.
She uses a bead metaphor?
A bead, like life's about beads, oh. Like jewelry, and you're always changing it. But I didn't use the other jewelry metaphor earlier, so just cut that out, Corinne. Cut it out.
No. I love that jewelry metaphor. I can't believe you left that out. When they're in the editing bay, he talks about how she strings beads, and she says, I don't use beads. I use crystals and gemstones. I run a classy operation here.
Because nothing says classy like a bedazzler.
Crystals and gemstones.
Crystals and gemstones. And so as they're chatting, in walks Aiden. He's such a selfless good guy. He's going to help her eat the delicious food. They commence with a food tasting / food porn, making all kinds of yummy sounds as they try everything.
Were you jealous?
They feed each. I'm so jealous. I want to be a bridesmaid somewhere somehow to taste cake and delicious food. So they feed each other. They fawn over the food. Kyle gets uber jealous and tries to push Aiden out of the shot to get a close-up on Becca. But Aiden will not be pushed out that easily. He just switches to the chair on the other side. So he's on the periphery, but there's still room for Kyle to do his job, but not much more.
I did note that suddenly Lucy's wedding video becomes more and more about Becca.
I know. Slowly but surely. It's like that. Have you ever seen that romantic comedy, Love Actually?
I hate it, but yes, I've seen it.
So the best friend that's in love with his BFF's wife,
yeah,
how he takes totally that wedding video. And it's like, it's all close-up shots of her and her face and like cuts out everything except for her. It's like, that's the wedding video that Lucy's going to get at the end of the day. It's just like 2 full hours of Becca and like maybe 10 minutes of the wedding.
I love the food tasting jealousy thing though, because Kyle is so like, they're having too much of a good time together. I have to break them up. I have to move them apart. No.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Scoot over there a little bit. I need to get a picture of the... No. Your chair's in the way. Just move over a little bit more.
You're allergic to shrimp, you say? Oh, I need shrimp in this shot. You better back away.
Yeah.
Back away or I'll smear it all over your face, Aiden. A little later on, they are taking a break from all the food tasting. And Becca and Kyle are walking out of the venue. It looked like Aiden might have gotten a phone call because he's talking some furious business onto his phone. Kyle and Becca walk around and start deep diving into their relationship history. Then you really get the point of view that Kyle's like trying to get to know her better, like relationship status wise. Because he was like, how are you still a bridesmaid and still haven't gotten married? And she shares that she just got out of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Everything was perfectly fine. But to be mm-hmm. fair to her and her ex, she felt like there should be something more than perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this quote by Kyle. And he says that everybody has a good story for the wedding interview. And you dig deeper and you see that we're just really good at rewriting fairy tale into our own history.
Yeah, for sure.
And Kyle, on the other hand, was sure about his ex because he's also single and shares that him and his ex broke up because he thought they were right for each other. They were both on the same page, or so he thought. But then her page got turned.
I hate it when that happens. Where you're like, I love you. They're like, I love you. And then you're like, I love you. And they're like, yes, let's be together forever. And then you're like, I love you. And they're like, well, actually, I've just been thinking about looking around and, you know, maybe we should just take a step back.
But they're at a standoff because Becca tells Kyle that he can't shut down because of one failure. And Kyle says that she can't keep looking for specifics and miss something that's right in front of her. And Aiden says, Becca, come inside. We have to taste appetizers. So they leave.
You also forgot she got a call.
While she
was out with Kyle. The lady calls her and says, your jewelry sold out in 3 days. It's selling like hotcakes. And so she had like a little moment of triumph when she was on her walk with Kyle.
At the end of her walk, Becca gets a phone call. And it's the jewelry lady. And she says exactly what Corinne just said.
They're done with the tasting. Becca has not signed the contract. But when she got the call from the bridal shop, the woman said, hey, I can connect you with my jewelry distributor, but they need to see a full collection, not like these little odds and ends. So she's working on making jewelry for the distributor, a full collection, and she's working from home. So she's talking to clients on the phone while she's making dental drilling noises with her machinery. And I'm like, really, Becca? I don't think that's a good idea. I'm just saying is all. So
yeah, you just need to go get your physicals.
Even though it's not the pandemic, she is working from home a lot and making jewelry and taking phone calls. Then she moves on to having coffee with her besties, Allie and Lucy. And once again, they bring up her making her jewelry and maybe you should just pursue making your jewelry. And Becca's like, no, I need to carry on the legacy of my family. I can do both. My family has worked too hard for me to just destroy everything at this point in time. And they're like, are you sure about that? Do you think you can handle it? And she's like, yeah, I got it all on lock. And they're like, okay, well, we support you,
but we really think you should just be devoting your time and energy to the jewelry, which you're really talented at. Lucy's the one that brings it up, and she's like, you look tired, you look like you have so much on your plate. And I'm like, and she's your maid of honor, so do you think you might be contributing to that just a smidge, Luz?
Just a smidge.
Just a smidge. Didn't she not have to go food tasting for you and go
to
your...
Oh, no, she had to eat delicious garlic mashed potatoes for her. That sounds terrible.
I know, but I'm just, like, one of the things that she said is, I have to get this collection done before we leave for your wedding. Now, if she did not have to leave for Luce's wedding, she probably might have a little more time to devote to her jewelry making.
That's kind of insane if she doesn't have a life. Like, you're going to have events that you have to do. Like, as she mentioned to Kyle earlier, she said, I would go pro with being a maid of honor, but I want to get in the Olympics with it. And he says, no, you can actually be a pro now and be in the Olympics. And so she says, well, then I'm going for the gold. She's into it. She's in it to win it.
I'm just saying, like, Luz, look at yourself in the mirror when you're saying stuff like that to Becca.
So they totally skip the whole bridal shower stripper party thing. I don't know why, but they do.
They do not show men without their shirts on Hallmark movies.
Sometimes they do. Oh, there's this one time.
Whatever that movie that is.
Oh, it was so good. And he was in these. Oof. Oof. Anyways, so she's at home tying up loose ends and I look and I see, oh, there's a gift on the table. And then she pulls out the contract out of it. And I was like, oh, it's her contract that she hasn't signed.
She was in a very nice box.
It was. There was like a bow on it. I was getting very excited because I like presents. But then she goes by the office before she leaves for the wedding and she runs into her dad there. They have a little conversation where he's like, you know, if you do what you love for work, it doesn't feel like work. Now that, okay, I've heard that saying before and it is such bullshit because even if you're doing what you love for work, there are days where it definitely feels like work. However, he's like, soon you will get to experience that yourself. And Becca says, yeah, soon I will. And I'm thinking, I think she's not talking about the insurance industry anymore when she says that. Sorry, Dad.
Lively, exciting world of insurance.
I know. So she heads up to the beautiful little wedding resort and Best approaches her and he says, I'm ready for duty. And she says, I've been on duty for the last 5 months, motherfucker. He's like, oh, well, then I better go and find the groom because I got some lost time to make up for. I'm like, ugh, men. But, you know, to be honest, I don't think that Kyle would be as useless as Best if he were in the same position. Best tootles off, and Kyle tootles on, and she's over by the trunk of her car, and Kyle's like, oh, you packed light, and then she opens the trunk, and four different suitcases are back there, and he says, I take back what I said. And he graciously offers to help her take stuff up to her room. Once he gets up to her place, he does not take sexual advantage of her. No, I know what you're thinking, but that does not happen. He doesn't make a move.
No, what I was thinking is he was like banging her suitcases through the door and up the hallway. I'm like, get one of those cart thingies. Get one of those cart thingies that they have in hotels. Why aren't you using the cart thingy? There's like cart thingies all around them. Like people are rolling very easily their luggage around. And I'm like, Kyle, what are you doing? That's what I was thinking.
You got to worry about like potentially tipping someone. It's confusing, those cart thingies. So once they get up to her room, he says, hey, after the dinner party thing, after that.
They did have a lot of parties that were just like everybody's dancing.
Yeah, I know. It just was like wedding after wedding after wedding, except it was not. He says, after the evening soiree, why don't you meet me in the library and I will show you the documentary. I came through. Now it's time for Becca to be in H2T Hallmark Lace TM at the pre-wedding soiree. And once again, she meets up with her grandma. Shout out, grandma, shout out, shout out, shout out. Grandma's like, hey, you got a lot going on. I love you, baby, but you gotta pick a lane. Do you really want to do this insurance thing? Because you could do the jewelry thing. Maybe you should try following your heart.
I was not loving Grams after this conversation.
Really? Why?
No, because you don't know exactly what the jewelry business is going to entail. And sometimes businesses start slow. Like she could have made this collection. It could have been very well received. And then things could have stalled. And so the fact that grandma's kind of saying, like, you can't do everything. I did not like the, like, kind of lock down and be like, pick a lane, pick a lane. Like, I think she should have been more encouraging.
I kind of agree with her, though. Not typically, no. I totally agree with what you've been saying about the whole leap and the net will catch you is total bullshit. No, that you can leap and you can fall and it sucks. But grandma pointed out that her parents both work 12-hour days. And there's two of them, and she would be doing a job where there would only be one of her doing the same position.
That is true. She's taking over the job of two people, and they're kind of like pushing it on her, like, you're going to be fine. She should have been more forthcoming with her parents about the responsibilities that she was overtaking. But then Graham is just like, I don't know. I just,
I still have an undying love for grandma. I thought she brought up some good points. She could have a less demanding job. Like, I have a less demanding job so that I can do things like work on a podcast. So anyways, grandma says, pick your lane. Tamara does not agree with that at all. I kind of do.
She thinks you can merge, go between lanes, but it's not the Hallmark way.
And then Becca tootles off to the library
for the secret rendezvous with Kyle.
Secret lovers.
Thinking back when they had their spit in the hand, mm-hmm. I'll show mine if you show yours. The stakes felt a little bit higher for Becca than they did for Kyle.
100%.
Because she was like, you have to put your jewelry out there and you have to like find a buyer and make a collection and do all this stuff. And he had to edit it and show it to Becca, who already saw some of it.
Yes.
But he was going to show her the whole thing. So at this point, he shows Becca the whole thing.
Ta-da!
Good on you, Kyle.
There's dogs, slow motion running, American flags flying.
Military personnel running. And Becca loves it. And she sheds one single tear. And I was like, I feel you, Becca. I also cried a lot of those dog videos, especially when they're reunited. And they had a scene where there was a military person being reunited with the service dog. She tells Kyle how much she loves it. And of course, he nitpicks and says, oh, it's still not ready. And you have to hook people in the first few minutes or you'll lose them. Pause. I said, Corinne, we know nothing about that. And if you're still here with us, dear listener, we thank you. Unpause. Becca says she wished Kyle would see in himself what Becca sees in him. And he's like, you only like the movie because you like me. And Becca says, you think I like you? And then the conversation again turns to Becca's jewelry and what she's going to do when it takes off. Becca still doesn't know. She's still torn between her love of jewelry and the exciting world of insurance.
Ooh.
And Kyle says, do you have any pictures of your jewelry pieces? Just, you know,
lying around
offhand. Yeah, just kind of lying here and there. And she says, yeah. And he goes, send them to me.
Dun, dun, dun.
The next day.
The plot thickens.
The next day, Becca's doing what she does best, contemplating life, gazing out at the water.
Aww.
When just man, formerly best man, Aiden walks up and asks what's on her mind. And she says risk management. And in a nutshell, Aiden tells her that, you know, once upon a time, he took a risk and quit his job as a lawyer to open an Asian fusion restaurant that lasted barely more than 100 days.
I'm like, honey, Asian fusion, really? He does not seem to me like the type who would be like, you know what I do in my kitchen in the spare time? I cook up some Asian fusion.
Are you kidding me? That's the tale as old as time. The lawyer who has a love for Asian fusion food and quits his job.
Don't.
You haven't heard that story?
Oh, yeah, that's like that one? Every other Hallmark movie. No, I haven't heard that story. He was like, you know what's kind of trendy? Asian fusion. Let's open a restaurant.
Yeah.
Just.
That's so just Aiden. Ugh. But I could not figure out in that conversation if he was trying to talk her into it or talk her out of it.
Out of it.
But he was saying, like, he learned from his mistakes. So I was like, okay, so are you saying, like, even if she fails, she'll learn something? Or are you saying, like, don't fucking do it. Stay in your lane. Becca, just like Grams did. I'm looking at you, Grams. I am looking at you.
He says, you know, you think the grass is greener on the other side, but then when you look, it's just brightly colored weeds. And so he's just saying, look, if you stray from your course of the tried and true, it's just going to be a fuck up. It's going to be Asian fusion restaurant failure all over again.
Weeds can sometimes be pretty. I don't know what you're talking about. Just.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. I was just thinking about how she later picks up a dandelion, a weed, and blows on it, possibly making a wish.
Oh.
Embracing the weedy side.
Oh, way to look into that.
So while they were talking, Becca says, you know, this is the easiest wedding that I've ever experienced. So just you're getting off easy. And then Lucy comes up, tears in her eyes. There's two things that are terribly wrong. The first thing, the wedding planner quit. She has no one to run the wedding. But Becca is on the case. She says, don't worry, best, and I will take care of it. And then best says, we will. And that is why he gets called just, because he's not best at all.
100%.
Then Lucy says, thank you, Becca. Are you sure? The other thing that's terrible is there's a run in my nylons and now I don't have any nylons. Becca is on the case. She's got it covered. She has extra nylons just for her. After Lucy leaves, now super happy because she does not have to worry about nylons for the entire weekend. And just says, so you're going to help me, right? Because I don't know what to do. And Becca says, I will tell you what to do as soon as I figure it out. She goes up to her room. She's working on the processional order. And there's a knock on the door. Kyle appears. And he opens up his iPad and he's made a website for her, which I think, honestly, most romantic thing ever. Are you kidding me? Fuck the roses. I want a website. Unlike best, because best couldn't figure this out if it was like thrown in front of him. But he saw something that Becca needed to help, like, kind of give her wings to her business. And he put something together for her over the weekend, which I think was just a really beautiful gesture on his part.
That's all he's been doing this whole movie, is kicking her down the jewelry lane. Like, I double dog dare you to put a collection out. And it seems like he's always been kind of pushing her in that direction. How dare he? I do agree.
Push her to follow her dreams. Ugh.
He's just living vicariously through her because he's a chicken that doesn't want to put out his movie.
Well, that's why she's pushing him to follow his dreams. See? It's a give and take situation.
I do agree that that website was pretty, pretty choice.
Mm-hmm. Becca is thrilled. He gives her the iPad to look at the website he created and to play around with it. Then we move on to the next scene. It's the greenhouse processional. It's the wedding rehearsal. Becca is telling people what order to walk down the aisle. And Lucy pipes up, "Walk slowly and give people time to enjoy those gorgeous yellow dresses."
Those vitamin P dresses.
And Allie, who's the other best friend, is walking down the aisle with her husband, and she kind of looks over at her husband and rolls her eyes like, "Are you fucking serious with these yellow dresses? I feel like I'm wearing vitamin P. What the hell? But I'm doing it for you, Lucy, because we have history." Breathe deep. Becca is continuing putting the order of the processional, and Best approaches her and says, "I'm not being very helpful, am I?" And I'm like, what? You're not being helpful? What would make you think that? Like, the most useless man alive. He just reminded me of so many of my exes. And I just, I could not even with him. Hashtag not all men, because I think if Kyle were in that same position, I think that he would be really good and very helpful.
Yep.
Becca and Best walk down the aisle, and they go and stand up with the wedding party, and the bride walks down the aisle. Everybody's standing up there. Kyle takes his camera. He moves it onto the wedding party, and then just switches it ever so slightly so it focuses more on Becca. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Lucy's dad is going to be so pissed when instead of having the Lucy wedding video, it's the Becca Lucy wedding video, because it's just becoming more and more about Becca.
You think?
And they're done with the wedding rehearsal and go on their merry way.
I just had one note about the processional when Becca and Aiden walk down the aisle and Lucy's at the end going, "When do I walk, Becca? When do I walk?" And she's like, wait, we'll start the music and then the flower girl and give it a couple of seconds and then you walk, Lucy. And I'm like, it's not that hard. And I kind of felt like, Lucy, like, this is your day, and like, have, like, take a little bit of ownership. And how do you want to be presented to the people out there instead of being like, Becca, what do I do? One foot in front of the other? Okay, I think I got that.
I felt like she was very overly anxious. And this is such a semantic point, but she says, cue the music. The flower girl goes. And then you and your dad will walk down the aisle. And so the flower girl goes, no fucking music. and then the overeager bride and her dad start walking down the aisle and the music is cued. And I'm like, music, people, music. Did you not hear Becca?
Nope, that's true. I'm like, that's why they need Becca, and that's why Lucy's like, I don't hear the music. Am I supposed to walk? Because the music's supposed to be playing, right? No, now go.
She's like, I would like to get down this aisle at some point in time, because, you know, the whole point is that I get down the aisle so I can get married.
Yeah, really? You wouldn't know it by looking at Kyle's video. Anyways, then we find Becca blowing on a milkweed in the middle of a grassy field. And Kyle walks up and says, we need to do a wedding video. So she's like, great, wedding video, woohoo. What are you going to ask me? And he's like, oh, you know, favorite color, favorite food, favorite dinosaur, all the important things.
Favorite dinosaur.
And
I got it. Ankylosaurus. Done.
Oh, I don't have a favorite dinosaur. I feel like I need to look into that some.
Yeah, you do.
Triceratops. I think I like the Triceratops. And so they are sitting at a patio and she starts giving the standard video wedding stuff. And Luce, you're my best friend. And I think you were my mom in a past life because you're always bossing me around. And then she stops it and she's like, you know what? I want to do something different because something's changed. This wedding, something in the air feels different. I wonder what it is.
Is it love? Is it Kyle? Is there romance? Are there going to be little kisses? Little dry kisses?
So then Kyle probes, not in the sexual way, and starts asking her good questions and gets something more meaningful. Then it cuts to another party.
Yay!
So still not the wedding. Partying in the middle of the day. So much partying in the middle of the day. Music playing, people doing some bad dancing. And here, Becca's uncle comes up and says, I got to give you props for holding this shit together. Lucy tends to spin out of control, and she hasn't done it once since you've been here holding down the fort, Becca. You're a lifesaver. And Aiden swoops in and asks, hey, can I have a dance with you, Becca? Everybody's like jocking Becca's stuff right now. And as she's dancing with Aiden.
We're rewinding. So she's talking with Uncle Paul.
Right.
And he also says to her, don't you worry about a man. I know you'll get one when the time is right. He also is like one of the two people in the entire movie who isn't like, you need a man and to get married right away. Instead, he's just like, you're cool. You're going to get it. It's all right. Don't worry.
He must be Graham's son. in the family scheme of thing. That must be Graham's boy right there. They're on the same page. You don't need to be married. You don't need to find a man right now. You do you. Go dance with Just. No pressure.
Oh, and when Aiden Just approaches, I said, Hallmark needs to have a content advisory for the tight pants that Best is wearing. Because those pants, like, they leave no room for the imagination. I'm just saying.
Oh, it's times like these that I wish we could be watching the movie simultaneously because I gotta see those pants. And I have no means to do it at this point in time. But you best believe I will be looking that up in close-up after we finish here. Later, Kyle asks if Becca's finished looking at the website that he created for her. And she will, but she's kind of busy right now, you know, like coordinating a wedding and such. But he says, okay, you know, look at it when you can, but remember to fill out the section about your story. And remember, it's up to you on how you end your story.
You.
You. You do you. You do you. Doing the you do you dance. Later that evening, she writes this touching origin story about her journey and how her jewelry inspires her customers to follow your dreams and shine like the jewels you are.
Aww.
And as she's sitting there trying to figure out what else she wants to say, here comes Kyle. Because he always finds her.
Yes,
and if he wasn't so cute and charming, it would be a little stalkery.
Yes, it would be.
And Becca admits that she has decided she's doing the jewelry. She's all in. Even if the distributor doesn't want her, she can find another. She got this. She got the talent. She's got the means. She's going for it.
She's picking a lane. Yes, she is.
She's picking the lane that Kyle's been gently pushing her into this whole time. They walk out of the greenhouse and wind up on the cutest little swing, flanked by all kinds of fake flowers, but you know, tastefully done.
Can we go on that swing, please? Because that would be so much fun.
No, I have that later in my notes. Don't steal my thunder.
That was in my notes.
Go ahead. We want that swing. But we have our own podcast house someday. We're going to have a flower-flanked swing in the backyard that we can sit on and do this. So Becca contemplates her decision and how it'll affect her parents. And Kyle admits that he's not really great at letting people in. He's got the battle scars. Remember, he's seen some things. Mm-hmm. And Becca says she knows he's guarded, but you know what? You need to put your movie out there, buddy. And he says, that's not what I'm talking about. dun, dun, dun. Without realizing it, I let my guard down with you.
Aww.
And we got to give that a name because that little, like, exchange is in the Hallmark formula. I've seen it, like, 3 or 4 times now where she's like, you have to go follow your movie, your job, your friend, your dog. And the guy's like, I wasn't talking about my movie, my friend, or my dog, or job. I was talking about you.
Ooh.
So somewhere,
ooh, you made me feel a little flutteries with that. Thank you.
No problem. But that has got to get a name because that happened. It happened well. I love that little spin on, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about you. But then Kyle says to Becca, maybe this is what you meant when you said it's effortless. And they lean in to kiss. And you hear in the background, Becca! Bex, are you out here? The most kisses interrupt us. Of course, at that very, very moment, Lucy needed Becca for some really urgent reason, by the way she was hollering out for her.
Face mask.
And Kyle hands Becca his iPad, says, you finish your story, get it out there. And they say goodbye.
After all those parties, and another party, we have finally arrived at the big day. Wedding party. The big day.
I'd be partied out by now, I think.
Oh my God. So it's the wedding day. Becca finds out that the jewelry distributor loves her pieces. Yay! She's hanging out on a bench and she's killing time while Lucy gets a massage. I'm all, why can't I be in on that massage too? I want a massage.
Yeah. Why is she out there like
a guard?
I'm just here to service Lucy. When she needs me, I am out here.
I know. She's out there waiting for Lucy to finish her massage. And Uncle Paul comes up and he's like, oh, hey, what you watching there? And she happens to be watching the service dog documentary. And she's like, oh shit, nothing much, Uncle Paul. He's like, no, those look like service dogs. What's going on with that? And Becca says, well, it's a documentary about army dogs and them being reunited with their soldiers. And he's like, oh, that sounds really cool. Let me have a look at it. And she's like, well, and a friend of mine.
I just have to say,
yeah.
She never at any point in time that I saw says it's not done yet. When he said that, and I was like, wait. At least say it's not done. So when Kyle gets pissed off, he could be like, but I told him it wasn't done. But she can't say that because she didn't tell her uncle that.
I don't think that would have made any difference to him.
No, he was like, went zero to psycho in like 7 seconds. I just was just like, I would want you to say that on my behalf if I was Kyle and being as precious as he was about his movie. That's all.
She's like, my friend made it. Kyle, the wedding videographer. And he's like, just show it to me. I've got to see this. And so he watches some of it and she feels like really bad about it. She's like reluctantly hands it over to him, but he really likes it. Yay, Uncle Paul. He knows a good thing when he sees it. Those slow motion flags, the dog and the soldier running towards each other and embracing. It's all there. He says, oh, I really like that. And then they go on their merry way. Lucy and Becca are in the bridal suite. Lucy gushes over Becca and thanks her for everything she's done. Becca's in her bridesmaid dress. Lucy is in her wedding dress. And there's a knock at the door. Who could it be? Is it just checking in to see if Becca needs anything? No. It is our friend Kyle. He's got his video camera at the ready. He gets this look on his face and he says to her, wow, you look even in yellow. Or as my best friend Tamara says,
vitamin P yellow. That man sure does know how to give a good compliment, doesn't he?
I liked that compliment. I thought it was good. I think that you feel differently.
Doesn't he say like, why you look even in the yellow? Like he doesn't finish it or does? Okay.
His breath is taken away.
Oh.
He's like, wow, you look.
Oh. Are you getting to the part where she says, aren't you supposed to be looking
at the bride?
At the bride. And he says, I can't take my eyes off of you. That's a good line.
And he says, okay, since I can't take my eyes off of you, why don't you go and put the veil in Lucy's hair? And that way I can record the both of you because it's now become the Lucy Becca wedding video. So they are done in the bridal suite. They move on to the wedding because we have finally arrived at the big day after all the parties and all the rehearsing and
all the bad dancing.
All the bad dancing. Everybody's getting seated and Kyla's there with the camera and Uncle Paul approaches Kyle and says, "Hey, Kyle, that documentary you made is really good. I don't usually do documentaries, but..." And Kyle's like, "What are you talking about? I do wedding videos?" And he's like, "No, the documentary about the service dogs." And Kyle is totally blindsided by this. It would have been good if Becca had given him a heads up that Uncle Paul had seen the video, but she did not. Kyle tries to be as courteous as possible while also just feeling a full range of emotions. And he says inside his head, "Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal," to Becca. So after getting through his conversation with Uncle Paul, Becca approaches Kyle and is like, "I'm so excited. I'm going to get some free time where I don't have to worry about what's going on with the wedding," because she has now become the de facto wedding planner and just is just useless.
Yes.
And he's like, "Fuck you. You betrayed me. I gave you that iPad so that you could do your website. I did not give it to you to, I don't know, share my documentary with the entire town, particularly your producer uncle." And he says, "You gave away my first impression before the film was even ready." And I totally agree with him being upset. However, when Uncle Paul approached him, Kyle said, "It's not quite done yet." Uncle Paul said, "I've seen rough stuff before, and it's totally fine. I really liked what I saw." So he was very complimentary. His first impression was actually that of a good one.
Yes.
But still, Kyle is incensed by the sudden but inevitable betrayal. So Becca looks like a wounded deer, but she's got to keep her shit together because she's got to run a wedding. Kyle is really pissed off, but he's got to be friendly because he's the videographer, and they go their separate ways.
I thought his reaction
was
a little bit too much. Came in too hot.
A little too hot. When you're blindsided, coming in too hot is sort of what happens.
But as you said, he was complimentary, so he should have had that initial like, "Curse your inevitable betrayal," but he liked it. So like you would think like he'd come down a couple of notches and then, you know, see Becca and be like, "Dude, like I'm upset. I can't talk to you about it now. Like we'll speak later. Go ahead and just do your wedding thing." Instead of like, "Nope, yep,
I think he was like so betrayed. I think he felt so like surprised that he just wasn't even able to really process what happened. The blood was thumping in his ears and he's just like, "How can I get out of this?" And he was in the frozen deer mode where you can't really hear what somebody's saying, but you're just like, "Okay, yeah, if I wait here long enough, then they'll go away. All right, bye."
Also, just off topic,
yeah.
Where's his assistant? Like three or four scenes ago, he's like, "Oh, my assistant's bringing in my stuff." Where is this assistant? Like, good time for the assistant to step in and take over. The absent assistant.
The flowers in the wedding are gorge. They are so beautiful. I would not mind those wedding flowers at mine. Fictitious wedding. A lot of times, Hallmark can be very much lacking in taste with things, and these were beautiful flowers.
Oh, yes.
Although putting mason jars filled with water and flowers attached to a ribbon hanging from the side of a chair in an aisle, maybe not the best idea. Cute, but
yep.
Disastrous, I would think. So,
especially around my family who likes to drink.
Like to celebrate life, which is great. And also, there'd be
I
a
mean,
lot of
celebrate broken, life.
Broken glass involved in that. You say drink, I say celebrate life. You know, it all works out.
Oh, Becca, if she was my maid of honor, she'd be walking around with a dustpan and a broom at that wedding. Because people would be knocking over glasses and chairs everywhere.
A wet dry back.
Dearly beloved,
do you take... So yeah. The bride and groom, they have very abbreviated vows because this isn't about their wedding. This is about Becca. And... They run out.
Of course it is.
They go down the aisle. Everybody's like, yeah, you got married. And they get into the car and they drive off to where? I don't know. They're on the same, like, little patch of land that they're going to be going to. So I'm not really sure why there's a little vintage car driving them off somewhere. But, you know, fine, fine. And then the wedding is over. Becca's walking across the lawn and she meets up with her mom.
I think the car is just all for effect. Mainly for the movie. And so they can go off and have sex. Because, you know, they're not supposed to have sex before marriage. Right. So now they could finally do it.
Oh. I actually think it's more boring, like, wedding photos. Let's take pictures of you over here by the weeping willow. Over here by the sandy beach. You know, put your arms around her. I had a flash
where you're like, it's for the wedding photos. I'm like, well, they're having sex.
This isn't Bridgerton. Once again.
I know. So Becca sees her mom after the ceremony and finally tells her that although she's proud of the company and what their family's built, she's going to give her jewelry a shot. And her mom is super understanding.
Yes, like, she is.
Honey, it's fine.
Just wish you'd let us know earlier.
Seriously. Like, we're leaving tomorrow for our retirement, but guess we're just going to have to postpone that because you know what? It's a really successful business and we could probably sell it off for a buttload of money because we've had offers before. We were just doing this for you. Like, we wanted you to take over for you, but if that's not what you want, we're okay with that, but you get to tell your father. And she's like, let's wait till after the party so he can at least enjoy tonight. And because I don't want him to be pissed at me, probably.
Yes.
Although if her dad's anything like her mom, it'll be fine.
Which I think he will, but he'll have that, like, wounded puppy dog, you know, unbreak my kind of thing going on.
I should be on the golf course right now, Becca. Jesus. Cutting into my tea time. So a little later, Becca finds Kyle and she explains that I did not just say, like, hey, uncle, here's this video my friend did. Please watch it. I was sitting down, minding my own business, waiting for the selfish bride to get her massage. I should have been in there getting a massage too.
Amen.
What would have happened?
Yes.
If I was getting a massage.
Yes.
But that's neither here nor there.
I think that's a lesson to us all. Always get the massage.
Yeah. If you're not going to get a massage, then havoc's going to ensue.
Yes.
You have to get those massages together.
Just get the massage.
Words to live by. Yep. So she was just sitting there watching it, minding her own business, killing time, and her uncle came and was like, hey, what's that? And she reluctantly shared it with him. And you need to stop being a little bitch about it, Kyle. Those weren't her words. Those are mine. Because I will never apologize for what I see in you. Mm. And I was like, bam, that's a good line.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good line.
Yes. Becca's bringing it.
She brought it. She brought it hard. So she walks off. And then we find her on our swing. In comes Aiden, just takes a seat next to her and admits that he's caught the feels. And we kind of knew it was going to happen eventually because Becca's awesome and he's just. And
we do not blame him for falling for Becca because she is. She's a total badass.
She has a blowtorch. She's a permanent bridesmaid, can fix all your problems, and the groomsman can, or the best man can, talk excitedly on the phone. That's pretty much all we've seen him do in this whole movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, so
he can also really rock a tight pair of pants.
Oh, and rock a tight pair of pants, but you need more in a relationship, I hate to say it.
Huh.
Yeah. There's more to life in tight pants and phone talking. So, Becca says she's sorry, but she's in love with the stupid head. And although it may not go anywhere with that stupid head, i.e. Kyle, it wouldn't be fair to Aiden to pursue anything. She didn't call him a stupid head. That's, again, me injecting my thoughts and feelings. But she says she's in love with somebody else. And it wouldn't be fair to Aiden to pursue anything with him.
Plus, she also realizes he's kind of a dud. He's not the best. He's the just.
Yeah, and she's been down that road again. I mean, she's been down that road before where she's gone with perfectly fine, and she doesn't want perfectly fine. She wants something more.
Mm.
She says, I don't think it's going to work out with Stupid Head, but I'm going to try it. And Aiden says, if Stupid Head doesn't see in you what I see in you, then he's a stupid head.
Amen to that. That is the best words that came out of Best's mouth the entire movie.
Very poignant words.
Yes.
And just then you hear, Aiden, they need you for pictures. And at this point in time, I called that dang swing the summoning swing, because anytime you sit down on it, somebody's going to yell your name to come do something.
I'm surprised they didn't need her for pictures as well. Just saying, but you know, whatever. The pictures have been taken, hearts have been broken, and they move on to the wedding reception. And Becca is once again giving her wedding speech. And she says, you know, I had something written out because I am the best maid of honor of all time. It would have made you laugh. It would have made you cry. It would have changed your life. And yet, I am going to speak from the corazón. From the heart. She just tore up that wedding speech and had the confetti fluttering down all around her. Or maybe she just tucked it into a little purse or pocket or something. Regardless.
I like the confetti aspect better.
Yeah, me too.
Do the confetti.
Confetti flying all around.
Confetti.
She speaks from her heart. This speech is basically kind of a selfish speech on her part, because it is not really for the bride and groom. She is talking sort of indirectly, but directly to Kyle, and says, essentially, true love is continually about lifting each other up. I used to think that things were easy. Maybe they're just not quite that easy. What did you think of her wedding speech?
Shocker. It's not about the bride and groom. Go figure. Everything else has been about Becca. Why not the speech too?
Kyle's got his camera. He's videoing her just because he has to at this point, because he's still pissed off. But he's listening to what she's saying. And he's like, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, I was a little bit of a dick. Even though there was some merit to what I said, still a bit more of a dick than I should have been. So Becca is back again with her true love at the singles table with her piece of cake. J'adore cake. J'adore. But the cake is delivered with a note, because Kyle, he knows the way to her heart, which is cake, easily. And it says, meet me in the greenhouse in 10 minutes. She's like, who could this be from? Is Best going to make another gesture? What is this unsigned note? Is it from a secret admirer? No, no. She goes out there and there's Kyle. And she says, you interrupted my cake again. I would have personally just shoveled some cake into my mouth real quick. But, you know,
I would have taken the plate with me.
That too. I would have been like, so what do you want to say? Shovel, shovel, shovel. He said, you know, your wedding speech, you're right. I was an asshole. Taking risks is easier when you have someone by your side. And I feel like you are there for me, Becca. They look at each other. And I didn't do appropriate notes on this, but it was kind of cool because they ended up doing like little wedding vows to each other over where the wedding ceremony actually took place. And, you know,
yeah,
he said in gems and precious jewels. And she said, I take you in documentary screenings and video shoots. And they did this like little back and forth thing, which was quite charming. And then they kiss. They actually kiss. And then kisses interruptus. Becca! Are you there? Where are you, Becca? It's Lucy, Tamara's favorite character.
Lucy with the shrill voice, I think is her full name.
And Kyle basically says, fuck her, she can wait a few minutes, and goes in for more kisses. Multiple dry kisses? Are you kidding me? What is this, Bridgerton? I don't think so. As they kiss in the romantic greenhouse, the camera zooms out and you get to see the larger landscape with Lucy running around on the lawn in her big white dress. And we have hit the end of our movie.
Didn't she look like she was in quite a bit of a tizzy? Like, she was, like, kind of frantically running around.
Spinning around. I wasn't sure exactly what she was doing, what was going on there.
Yeah. I was like, what has happened here? Like, I didn't know if she was dancing or hysterical. It's just... I thought that ending was nice because they basically, like, switched views on love. Like, she mm-hmm. fell in love kind of on his terms, and he fell in love kind of on her terms. And so they got to sort of see it through each other's eyes.
I totally agree, because she had to get past the awkward moment, and she had to work for it. And he felt himself just kind of falling into love with her, and it was sort of mm-hmm. effortless, even though he didn't want to admit it.
Yes. So for him, it was effortless. For her, it was work. And in the end, it all worked out.
Yay!
Whoa!
Okay, so what's your wrap up, your rating?
I don't have a lot of Hallmark movies to compare this to. And this one, I think, is like a 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a little bit better than average. Maybe 2.75. I would give it 2.75. 2 1/3. Nope.
I would give it 3 out of 5 dry kisses.
Okay. Yep. I'm splitting hairs. I would give it 3 out of 5 dry kisses too. I really liked Kyle. I wish Becca was a badass, but she was kind of like, she was just so even kiltered throughout the whole thing. I would have liked to see a little bit kind of more from Becca.
Mm-hmm.
More passion.
Yes. She was just working away. She was making it happen. I gotta give it to her.
Oh yeah.
I enjoyed the movie. It was fun. It wasn't anything to write home about, but I did really like the chemistry, the banter between Kyle and Becca. I felt like those moments were highlights in the movie. Everything else was kind of just.
Yep. All around solid Hallmark movie.
Yeah. A solid 3 out of 5. Dry kisses. So thank you so much for joining us today for The Last Bridesmaid.
Yeah.
You can find us on the social meds. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
At One Dry Kiss on all of them.
Yeah. And if you want to email us, share your thoughts with us. Maybe tell your love story. I don't know. Write us at onedrykiss@gmail.com.
We're not the boss of you, though. Write whatever you want. Or if you like the show, please give us a rating so we can get our own summoning swing. Because the more you like us and the more ratings that we have, the higher up we go. And we need that swing. We need it. We need it bad.
Yes. I mean, don't you want to hear advertisements with this podcast? I think you do.
Oh, that one.
Thank you for joining us. And I hope that this week you have so many wonderful dry kisses in your life.
Or wet ones. I wish you wet ones because I love you more.
Oh, always got a one up me, don't you?
I said it. They all knew it. I just had to actually voice that.
Fine. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Because I had a vision of getting rid, as a child, I had a vision of getting rid of my useless older sister who just sat around and read. And I would have an older brother who would play, like, football with me. And he would wear a mesh football shirt that's, like, cut off into the half top. So 80s, right?
So you wanted to be in a John Hughes movie, yes, apparently.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So yeah, I wanted to swap out my sibling with a different one.
But a new and improved one.
A new and improved one, yeah.
I would have swapped out my sister at many points in time in my childhood, especially when she took my Barbie and put it in the middle of the street to see what happened when a car ran it over.
That's not a cute look, Denise. That's not a cute look.
I love you, but we're so much better now.
Yes.